welcome to the Maurer Report. I'm your host, Jim Maurer. Before the Fast Hour and Paranormal Talk Radio starts, please go over to facebook.com/iTalkParanormal and give it a like. And leave a message telling me what show you're listening to. I enjoy the fan feedback.
The opinions expressed in the Maurer Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Maurer Report. Yeah, the Maurer Report, the paranormal talk radio show with Jim Maurer as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't wanna see. It's the Maurer Report. Yeah, the Maurer Report.
It is the Maurer Report, and we're live and hopefully loud enough for everybody to hear. I don't know. We'll figure that out soon enough, maybe. If I'd actually look at the microphone and talk into it, we'd probably all be better off. yeah, I know, right? You'd think by now I'd have this nailed down a little bit more than I do. But anyways, tonight's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider in the spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Go sign up for your free audiobook and your free 30-day trial by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/Maurer or coming to iTalk Paranormal and clicking the banner below. Okay. John, do you do the audiobook thing before we get into anything else?
I do not, but I honestly haven't had a chance to get back into any kind of reading in a while just because I'm so busy generally with life. So, I mean, it does come in handy. It's just I haven't really got into that myself too much.
See, now you need to go get an audiobook, see, and then you can listen to it like the radio.
true.
Okay. So, my guest tonight, before I forget to introduce him proper, because I know John, he was on the show. Were you on New Year's Day? Was that when you were on? It was the first show in January. I want to say it was New Year's Day.
That sounds right, anyway.
My guest tonight is John Fowler of the Midnight Watchman and ParanormalDictionary.com, and there's so much stuff. I don't even know how he keeps track of it. I tried to keep track of it over here on this note sheet, but, well, I got the two main ones, right?
Yeah, I would say so. The Expo is the only other thing, obviously, we're doing this year, Paranormal Journeys. As you said, I have a long list of stuff I do, and I don't keep track of it either, to be honest. I don't even know where I'm at half the time anymore, I think. So.
Well, you mentioned the Expo. Give me the official title, because I've just kind of been writing down the event. Like I should.
Well, there's been a few different names for it that I've seen people use, but the main event name is Paranormal Journeys Expo, and then 2013, obviously, is this year's year for it. I've also heard it referred to as the Midnight Watchman Expo, a few other things, just because, obviously, you know, Paranormal Dictionaries involved, but Paranormal Journeys is the official name for this weekend, is the Expo.
And obviously, by basing it, I'm glad you didn't do the first annual. That just seems kind of...
Yeah, it is a little cheesy. I mean, we plan on running it next year, but let's be honest, we're not there yet. I haven't even got done this one, so... I mean, we'll see. There's a lot. I mean, you know this too. There's a lot to go when you do these events, and it's not always the smoothest road to get there. So.
Yeah, I did one 2 years ago. Jeez, it's been 2 years already, and I've always thought I was going to do one the next year. And between venue and team members and just life in general, just never came together. And every once in a while, my wife loves this. I'll stop somewhere and look at a building and get a quote how much it is to rent it. You know, just because I always want to, you know, always want to do it again, but I just haven't found the right spot to do it.
Yeah, that'll be our fun part for next year is finding the right spot. Because you know me, I have particular, I don't want to call it OCD, but there's definitely when I do something, it has to have certain things in my own little world here. And if it doesn't fit, I won't do it. So, we plan on doing it next year, but I don't know where or how yet. I mean, once we get through this, we'll start, you know, version 2.0, I guess you can say, of this event and see what happens. Because obviously we want to see what, you know, didn't work here, what did, and try to fix that, obviously, you know, whatever they may be, small or large problems. Hopefully none, but there's always something.
And, like, I've told people, it was August 6th, 2011, was our event. August 7th, I woke up and felt completely empty because I had put so much energy and time in inviting people and making sure that, you know, everything was organized. I woke up the next day, and it was like, what am I going to do today? It was so, I had nothing, you know, there was nothing else to do. I was lost.
I can honestly say I probably won't have that problem with my side things, but, yeah, I know what you mean. I've put so much energy into this in the last, well, over a year, you know, we started promoting this event. I can't believe it's been almost a year since we, you know, we announced it, let alone it's this weekend coming up. I mean, I can't believe it myself. I mean, I really can't. Until it's done, I probably won't be able to sit back and go, wow, we did it, you know.
I had a moment. I had some live music. Peter John, I can't remember. Yeah, Peter John's his current name. He changes his stage name so much it makes me sick. I can't keep track of him. But he came and did a live set for us, and there is a picture. Well, kind of. I know the moment. It's not a really good picture of the moment, but I have my feet up on his amp. I'm sitting that close to the amp, blowing this noise out of my head, you know. And that was it.
Yep.
That moment was the closure of all of that work. It just kind of melted out of me at that point. And then 5 seconds later, I had to go back and start. You know, people were starting getting ready to leave, so I had to go do the hope to see you soon. Da da, you know.
Yep.
That was my seconds to a joy what I put together, but. Not to scare you away. I hope your event goes well, by the way. But
I hope it does, too. Right now I'm just watching the weather because it seems to change every day, and I'm just watching that to get an idea of what we're in for. I mean, thankfully the lectures are inside, but the vendors, of course, all the paranormal groups and, you know, my group and paranormal dictionaries outside, even with a canopy, depending on the weather you get, could be a deterrent for some people. So we're hoping that the weather, you know, behaves this weekend. We'll see what we get. Because that's the one thing I can't control. We just can't with an outside piece. It is what it is, you know, especially this time of year.
I know. It's kind of scary. But, hey, knock on some kind of wood. It was wood at one point, I think.
Well, like I told my team, I'm like, it's the one thing we can't control. No matter what, the event runs 10 to 6. I'm like, it's going to happen. I mean, that's why I said tell everybody, you know, we told that we're coming, bring a canopy, because, one, you don't want to be in the sun, and two, if it rains, you want to have some protection at least, you know.
Well, actually, you know, I was just looking at your lecture schedule here, which we'll, actually, I'm going to get into a little bit, well, as you know, I'm going to get into it a little in depth here with some of these people. But it's kind of ironic that the two people that I'm bringing on tonight are both at 4:15. I didn't even plan it that way. It was just people I see on the list and have connections with.
I didn't realize that until you said that. That's funny. I didn't even realize that either. That's the symmetry. I love symmetry in life, and you see that type of stuff, and I'm like, okay, meant to be. Let's get, you know, let's move on with this, you know.
So I'm gonna give her a little heads up here. I'm gonna bring the 4:15 Saturday speaker Danielle Simpson up. Good friend of mine. I've been on her show. She'd probably do a better introduction for herself than I would. I'd hope. I know that's the worst question you can ask somebody. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, that is usually your worst one. Because usually it's like, my name is, and, you know. Then you're just like, well, what else do I tell you? You know?
That's just it. It's just like, I know me, and I kind of know what's going on, but I don't know. That's what it is. Just put a big splat on my glasses. That's always special. Makes my life good. I forgot to do that. Oh, well. I was going to record it as part of a Google Hangout, but I forgot to hit record.
Technology.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week I'll get on that and remember to hit record over there. Save me the trouble of trying to upload them again later to YouTube. So, well, we're trying to get her on the line. Always. See, that's the technology part of this. So let's talk about some of these other people we got on Saturdays. Michael Lee Carroll seems to be taking up a chunk of your time there in the afternoon. So he's going to talk about adversity and true dedication. Oh, two parts of that.
Yep, it's a double lecture, as I call it. We only have two double lectures in the event. Basically, double lecture is two blocks of the hour time. So his is going to be obviously a bit more in-depth, along with on Sunday we have a UFO crop circle one that'll be in-depth as well. But with Michael's, at least, I'd be interested to see what he comes up with for that, because the title alone had me sold. because we've all been, you know, everybody that's investigated's had issues in the paranormal, whether it's just you questioning yourself or somebody questioning you or, you know, life getting in the way or challenging you. And I just think it'd be interesting to see what his take is on those, you know, subjects. It's different. That's what I kind of like about the lectures. You know, I had lined up through people I know and people who know people. It's very varied. It's not your standard, you know, paranormal lecture that you see from most of these other events.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see any autograph requests coming or have people out there selling autographs, I guess, is the next way to put it.
Well, if they are, they're not on TV, at least. That's the one thing about our event that is different, and I do say our event, even though it's mostly me, it is. I keep using the term community for this because this is the frontline people. These are people you would investigate with as investigators ourselves, and if you were needed help, these are the people you'd get in contact with. This isn't your paracelebs. Even though some of these people, like Dave Giuliano, might be considered a paraceleb, you know, in some circles, he's still very accessible as a person. It's not like, you know, some of these other ones have TV shows that tend to be, you know, you want to talk to them, fine, but if you want the picture, it's $10. You know, God forbid you ask for an autograph without a credit card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Okay,
these are all normal people.
So Danielle is supposedly on the line. Let's see.
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
I can hear you. How have you been?
Yes, I can.
I've been fantastic. How have you guys been?
Busy.
Busy? I'd imagine. My goodness, your Facebook updates are even worse than mine. It's like, my goodness, does John sleep anymore? Like, what's going on here?
Well, the funny thing is, working night shift now, I tend to be up more when people are awake, so you will see more of my posts actually when people are on versus randomly. So it kind of works nicely that way. And, you know, when I feel like posting something, I post it. Whether it's, you know, my stupid videos or something else, you know, for my side stuff, it goes up. So,
so Danielle, let's see, where'd it go? I had all these wrote down, and then I kind of scribbled all over it. So I thought like I could readjust it. Apparently, that adjustment didn't take so kindly to the notebook. The title of your lecture is Shamanism and Working with the Deceased. So, Give me a brief rundown of what you're going to be talking about.
Well, I do some work with shamanic journeying, and I know that's a bit of a lightning rod of a subject even to say shaman, but it's about the only appropriate word that I have found in the world of the healing arts to kind of describe about, you know, talking to dead people, because they don't really like to stress that they can do that so much, you know. They kind of run from that in my other professional world. So basically talking about how working with the deceased in a harmonious sort of healing-based way can help with working with paranormal investigators, working with clients, and working with the actual deceased individuals who might be requesting help, which they normally aren't, but for the occasions where they are. Just sort of different approaches that a team can use to help them, especially with their more sensitive team members, or just for teams to help figure out, you know, how do we work with psychics, with sensitives, with people who work with the deceased in a sensitive sort of way? How do we pick somebody that might be a good fit to work with our team? Does that sort of make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It's not just about people, you know, everybody. Well, how do I word this? I'm trying to walk the tightrope here, John. So these are my opinions, not John's, obviously. But not everybody that applies to your team should be a member of your team. There. I think
absolutely.
I did it successfully. I'm proud of myself right there. I felt slamming people up against the... Anyway.
Yes, good job, Jim.
And just because people are adults doesn't mean they need to investigate. Okay, another point.
It takes all types. It really does. But, you know, you're right. A team should be your dedicated members, and if you need help, people should be able to help, you know, in that regard, but doesn't mean they're going to be there all the time, you know, investigating. You have other people that can help in different ways. Like with this event, I'll have a few people that will be helping us that aren't team members of mine. They're just friends, but they're helping, you know, but they're not ever, they would never investigate with us again, probably, you know. It's just the way it is sometimes.
But you need a support network, especially if you're doing an event or whatever the case may be.
Oh, God.
Or investigating. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's something, you know, I've worked with paranormal groups before, but it's, you know, I get asked this a lot, like, well, how often do you go in paranormal groups? Extremely seldom. Fewer than 5 times have I ever gone into a client's home with a paranormal group. Why? Who needs me there? For every for every investigation. It's just not necessary to have, like, a shaman on your shoulder every time you go into a building. It's, you know, a good resource to reach for, but usually I'm helping teams with, like, oh, hey, you know, our team member's having a problem dealing with the fact that they had this experience, you know, or that they're becoming more sensitive. Most of the time, that's what my phone calls are, like, I don't need to be a team member. The average team does not, like, need a team psychic to come through every time.
But it sounds so cool, though.
When you're picking one, oh, it does sound so cool. And, you know, I'm sure it makes for amazing TV, too. Oh, great. But, but you know, yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm sitting on the couch and my phone will ring with a quick question, and that's about it.
Like tonight. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, you around? Yeah, I'm around.
But, you know, I did finally break down and tell John that I was doing this way tonight, so I was going to leave him in the dark, but I figured there would be that moment where I had to dial and he'd probably catch on to something was going on, so.
Yeah, as soon as I see you're adding someone to the call, I think I'd notice that.
Yeah, and then he's using Skype, so that always throws a monkey wrench in things. So, besides the event, Daniel, I know parts of what's going on with you, so what are you doing besides what John's event?
Well, let's see. I teach Reiki. I teach different kinds of energy healing that work with angels, and I teach a lot of psychic development classes in the Philly area. Yeah, and I teach as far away as Central PA and South Jersey and Cape May, and into North Carolina pretty soon. That's pretty much my deal. I mean, you can find out more about my classes at DanielleStimpson.com or LearnReikiPhiladelphia.com. But yeah, I mean, I'm also hoping to add a lot of guided meditations and that sort of thing to my website in the coming months to help teams anywhere that need it or help individuals anywhere that need it without necessarily needing a consult or anything like that. But that's the gist of what I do. That's pretty much my day-to-day. But I'm fairly committed to helping paranormal groups as my help is needed, which I find is fairly few and far between those instances.
Okay, good to know. Good to keep track of you, of course.
Good to hear from you guys, too. I mean, John's got so much going on, and Jim, you do, too. So good to hear from you. I hope to get my shows back on air soon. Maybe I'll get another Backpacking to the Universe on. You were a fantastic guest, Jim, by the way. We have so many downloads of that episode. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'm sorry. No. I was on a show.
No, you're fantastic.
I was on a show the other day, and somebody told me that, too, that the live listeners were up. And I said, I'm sorry. And they were like, for what? And I'm like, yeah, anyways, you don't get it.
No. I mean, I've gotten a lot of great feedback about your show. I mean, I like your perspective. It's the same reason everybody listens to you. You know, you cut right to the chase, and you say it for what it is. And diplomacy, well, let's just cut to the chase. So I really appreciate that about you.
I got an email back. I've been contacting a CEO of a company, and we've been trading emails because he sees the iTalk. He sees the Talk Paranormal brand, and it kind of scares him, you know? And I've been trading him emails, and finally today we agreed to do the interview. Now we've got to get it scheduled. But after that, I get this other little note. I'm glad that you're brief and to the point. If you were in my company, you'd be promoted right now. Because so many of those people just send these long windbag emails thinking that's what he wants to hear. Meanwhile, it isn't.
That's direct honesty.
So.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, in the healing arts world, I get these long, flowery emails, and it's like, oh, no, thank you. Oh, for the love of God, no. Like, just tell me what you need from me. It does not need to be 5 pages of how you know, blessings and this and that. Like, just tell me what you need, and I'll give it to you.
So you're going to have a table, booth, whatever you want to call it at the event. What are you going to be doing over there?
Well, I'll be talking a little bit about the different kind of classes I offer. I'll also be giving advice and guidance to anybody that has any questions about methods or practices that they might want to get involved in, and also helping just to let people experience what energy healing is. We'll be doing on-the-spot sort of mini energy trades and mini IET sessions so people can experience Reiki or IET, which is integrated energy therapy. It's an angelic form of energy healing, so that people can feel what that actually is. Talking about energy healing, it's a little bit like describing what chocolate tastes like. You know, unless you have an opportunity to actually experience it, how do you describe what the color black looks like to someone who can't see? You can't. So really giving people a chance to experience and sink their teeth into something and see what it is for real at the event. And I'm just really glad to be invited. Thank you, John, so much for letting me know about it. I'm very much looking forward to this event. I've been looking forward to it for months.
No problem, Danielle. Like I said before, I try to get the people who are the front line, you know, and people that I know. That's people like you. You're out there doing something, even if it's behind the scenes in a way, helping groups occasionally or teaching. You know, it's still the ones that everybody would deal with, not these, you know, paracelebs. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but our events should be more of the frontline people that you actually may deal with day to day than, you know, random TV personality.
Well, that's my view. I'll leave the random paracelebs comments go.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, well how come? And people ask me, how come I didn't see you at this event and this conference and this and the other? And I'm like,
you mean like the big one that we just had passed, not too far, like far from all of us?
Yeah,
like, you know, I might go to something like that to see a lot of my colleagues and friends and hang out with them, but that's about it. I mean, I don't even own a TV. Like, I don't know who the paracelebs are. I'll be honest. I'm a hippie. I don't own a
power.
TV.
You're not missing much, Danielle. Trust me. I'm serious. I mean, I'm sure they're nice people, but you're not missing much compared to what you know who you talk to online.
Well, I've had several of them on the show. They're great individuals, but that's just it. I mean, they're no different than John. They just been on TV, so now they're worth $7,500, whatever. So.
Well, a few are anyway.
Well, that's what they think, at least,
a few
I guess.
Are.
And I'll keep my mouth shut on that comment. But
well, more power to them. I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are nice, but I just don't know that that's the industry for me. I give them a lot of credit for doing it. You couldn't get me anywhere closer to a television than refusing to own one, frankly. Not my cup of tea. But, yeah, I'm sure a lot of them are very nice. The few I have met have been exceptionally nice and seemed great. But, yeah, I just – they couldn't get me to buy a TV for all the tea in China. It's not my thing.
All the tea in China?
All the tea in China. And I like tea. I do not like television.
Yes, all the tea.
All of the tea. You can deliver
it. I find myself listening to more and more shows, internet shows, than I do watching TV anymore.
Well, I think they're more interesting, honestly, Jim, because people are just honest. There's no cut out necessarily, like TV where you get a skewed view of whatever's going on versus a radio show where it's usually direct, you know, honest answers for the most part, I would think. But, you know.
And part of it is I'm scouting guests. It's just never, my mind never stops. I want to hear somebody before I, you know, invite them on.
Except for me the first time. But, you know.
Used to be I have to beg people to come on. Now it's kind of like, oh, I want to listen to them first.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's where the best shows come from is, you know, you think of the person whose head you want to get into. You think of the author you want to talk to. That kind of stuff. I mean, I think we've kind of forgotten what journalism actually was supposed to be about. You know, like now journalism, it's like news almost seems like it's half commercial.
Yeah, sensationalism.
Yeah, so like hearing another random person that's just like me asking the same person I want to ask questions of some questions. It sounds amazing to me.
It is. And you do it. You know
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. I love that I get to ask the same authors I've been wanting to pick their brains, you know, for years.
It has nothing to do with all these people in the chat room. Truthfully, it's just I enjoy talking to you two. It's a benefit they're there. I mean, makes the whole thing go a little bit easier. But
absolutely, and it's like that cool kind of feedback of, like, it's almost like you get to talk with a bunch of people about a person you really want to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, the best questions ever. Yeah, the best questions ever come out of the chat room. It's so much fun. That's the most fun part of hosting a show, is seeing what comes up in the chat.
Definitely. I love the randomness of it, because it just keeps it fresh no matter what you're doing from week to week, to me anyway. It's just great, because you never know what's going to pop out of a chat room or where it's going to go.
Or anymore, because I've been promoting my Twitter so much, it's amazing what pops up on my Twitter feed.
Seriously? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And trust me, some of it has been scary.
Yes.
Some of these people. I love them, though. They know I love them, but they find the randomest things to tweet me. And and see if I'll laugh. I know it. That's what they're doing. They're sending me these pictures and these links, the thing, just to see if I'll open it and laugh while I'm trying to, you know, while the guest is going into this nice long statement, and they'll send me a picture of a chicken dancing. Anyways.
Well, it totally announced, like, hey, everybody, I sent the chicken dancing. Had to laugh. I saw a chicken dance.
Yeah, I know what he's laughing about, you know. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, I am hoping to get Healing Arts Radio back in line. You know, as you both know, I've been having my health issues recently, so I've been a little offline. But and thanks for the support on that, Jim. By the way, you've known about that since, you know, before half my family knew about that. But
well, anytime. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm here if you need anything. So
oh, most definitely. But I mean, it's what it is. But you know, it's just it takes a lot of work to prep a good live radio show, as you know.
No, it doesn't take me any at all. I don't think I ever stop. I don't even know anymore.
I should probably just hang out with you more. It'd probably be way easier.
I don't know if I
just
ever
learn your method.
There isn't a method. It's just like it consumes me now. I'm pretty sure because once this show's like tonight, I'll enjoy it tonight. But I got to put the podcast up. So after the podcast is up, I have that like hour before I go to bed, and then tomorrow morning, it's promote the old show, start promoting a new one. Or start listening to new guests, or start... It just never stops. I'm insane.
Yeah, that's the issue. I was just, like, reading two books a week and all this noise, and then all of a sudden I couldn't see to read, and I'm like, yeah, I think I better stop.
Audio... Where's it at here? Let's throw this promo out of here again. Since they're offering to pay me money. Audible.com, you can get a free audio book if you click on the banner below the chat room there.
Well, I definitely used Audible when I could not see to read, and they were pretty great. Kept me from going crazy. So big old plug to your supporters there, Jim.
See, yeah, you even got a testimonial tonight. So
yeah.
Yep.
Last week I did cut, and my wife said no, she doesn't like audiobooks after I did the promo. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know about this. But that is that's par for the course. That's my wife, you know. I love her. And then later I did it again, and she gave me a great promo for it, but too little too late, I think, probably. Yep, there it is. Now Celestia is treating me pictures of the crazy baby. There we go. I'll retweet that for everybody so they can go look at it now. Let's see what I didn't laugh, though. Gonna have to do better than that. Something funny.
Well, now it's on for next week. Let me put this out there as a challenge. I am going to find the funniest crap that I can find, and I'm going to tweet it to you as you're doing your show live next week.
I
see if I can make you laugh.
I try to.
This is a challenge.
I engage people. I want to be on Twitter. That's where I want to be. I want to take the conversation out of the chat rooms and on Twitter. That way random people will be like, what are they talking about? And find out. That's my end game. For anybody who out there is trying to steal my secrets, there it is. I've announced it. Ugh, secrets.
Well, now we have the keys to your castle, Jim. It's all ours.
That's right. Go ahead. Get yourself a crazy goofed up duck background and go for it.
I've told you before, Jim, I've been offered shows, and I just keep going no, because I don't want to deal with all that plus the group in my personal life. I have enough on my plate. My own little mad world without adding too much more to it.
Yeah, like I said, it's consuming now. I don't know when it stops, and I don't know if it does stop, because I'm listening to guests, and I'm making changes to the website, and I don't know. I don't know if it ever stops anymore.
Well, then you should need to put some of that energy towards Paranormal Dictionary for me and update your page.
I know. I'm behind on that. I'll make a note of that.
Is that number like 8001 right now, or... Something like that.
Actually, I got the list pretty much managed down, so I can probably do that. I like to update it in bulk.
And that's fine. I mean, I'm serious when I say that. I mean, if you, especially doing a radio show like you do, if you did it every week, that's not really, it's too much time, you know, almost every week instead of like once a month or once whatever, you know, and just do a mass update.
Once a quarter.
It works.
I think I'm a quarter behind, though.
I'd have to look.
This is a perfect segue. If somebody wants to help me do some data entry or help John with ParanormalDictionary.com, he's always looking for volunteers.
It's free to sign up, so there's not really much you have to do besides just go in, create an account, and, you know, help us out a little bit.
How's that going over there? Is everything going well over there?
1 million views in August, so I'd say so. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, I'm amazed that since we relaunched this, I think it was 2 years ago now,
yeah.
as a wiki style,
yeah.
to get 1 million views in less than 2 years tells me that it's on the upswing for views totally because, well, that 500,000 last year in a year, and in less than a year it hit another 500,000 on top of it and counting. So it's getting attention. And we're still adding stuff. I'm still getting teams to, you know, join in, trying to add locations and definitions as I can, which, you know, it's with my other projects, it's I do bulk editing too. You know, that's when I'll go through and, you know, obviously take care of spam, but it takes a while sometimes to get new pages up just because, you know, I need to sit down and get the info in and all that fun stuff. And Brad's been, you know, busting his butt to keep the site faster and better, and it's getting there. It really is.
And we've got, since you mentioned them, I haven't mentioned them in a while, bizarretech.com. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about building a website, there's no other way to go, right?
I agree with that 110%.
He's helped me tweak everything out. Trust me, I've tried crashing my site several times, and he's helped me out every time.
Well, I remember when you first started out, you did some interesting crashes on the sites, which I'm not even sure how you did that, and I usually can figure at least how, and I don't even know how the heck you did it. So, you know, and if he can fix it, that's amazing.
Trust me. Some of the stuff I do, and he goes, how? And I said, I was clicking, and I had two pages, because I got two pages open, you know, I was trying to edit, and then you know, somehow... I still can't explain it. He barely could explain it to me. So, okay, Daniel, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to call the other guest of the, well, half hour, I guess. So, any last words?
Yeah, just thanks for having me on, guys. I really, really appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to seeing you this weekend, John. I've been looking forward to this for months, as I said. So, great to, you know, finally meet you in person. We've been chatting behind the scenes, and I think it's going to be a fantastic weekend. There's a lot of great people coming out.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be fun, and as you said, it'd be nice to see you in person for once. And I'm just excited to see, you know, how many people we actually get from the outside public. Because that's the one thing I never know until the event happens. So to me, that's just kind of waiting to see who shows up, generally, you know, and see what's next, as I always say.
Well, I've been plugging for you. Everybody else has too. So see what we can do. You've done a lot of good work. I have high hopes.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you, Danielle, for everything you've done for helping, and even Jim and anybody else who, you know, I'm forgetting about. It's been fun, and I just can't wait to see what all this hard work comes to this weekend.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, thanks for having me on, Jim. Great to talk to you, John, and thanks again for putting together this great event.
Well, thank you.
Okay, here we're going to push it. Oh, okay. Oh, did I do it? No, don't redial. I bought myself a touchpad, okay, so you won't hear you won't hear the clicking in the background anymore, but I haven't quite mastered the art of clicking yet, so.
Well, depending on your thumb, sometimes that's what happens too. I know that.
Well, now we got Rob ringing. Hopefully she's ready.
We'll find out.
Put her right on the spot here. Oh, boy. I thought I turned that off, by the way, but I guess I hadn't. I don't know.
Hello,
Jenny Stewart. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. Is this Jill Mallard?
Yeah, that it is. Who else would it be calling you at 9:30 at night?
I don't know. Hey, I get phone calls at 1 in the morning, so don't push it.
By the way, you're live, so don't say those horrible things about your husband again.
Oh, God. You could have went to commercial and they called me.
I don't do commercials. That's why. I just rule. It's only an hour.
Well, hello, everybody.
I only do an hour, so I have to just keep going, because if I take a commercial, that kills a fifth of my show.
Or more.
So you decided to call me while you're live on air.
Yes, prank call you. Yeah.
Prank call me?
Yeah.
Well, he had worse ideas. I stopped him.
See, John's got the conscience. He stopped you. But then you know, I get pajama call back and breathe in the phone real heavy or something. It just won't be on air. I gotta watch her give my phone number to these days.
You didn't give it to me though. That's the problem.
Oh. Who gave it to you? Oh, yeah, well, I gave it to you. I trust you with it. Yeah, I heard John give it to you.
Yeah, actually, Jim, you're lucky I haven't been able to, like, pay attention more and you don't have more call-ins. I probably would have pranked you a few times myself by now.
Oh, God. I definitely need to make sure that I watch her give my phone number to you. No, I'm kidding. I do not give my phone number out to very many people, so...
I give my phone number out to a lot of people, but I never answer it.
I had a stalker once or twice. No, I think I've had two. I had a really bad one once. It's getting a little scary. So after that, it was kind of like, I used to have my home number and my business cards and everything, and then I said, nope, no more.
No, I don't do that anymore either. I've got a Skype number and a Google number, and I give those numbers out. I don't give.
So I do the same thing.
I was going to say, if somebody out there is listening and have my cell phone number, consider yourself lucky. That's just, you know.
I think I have your cell phone number, so am I lucky?
You are. And you never call me.
Oh, so. Wow. I think I'm loose. I'm a busy person. I think I'm loose. I'll start calling you. I'll prank call you.
Go ahead. Like I said, I probably won't answer, so don't worry.
See?
Jim, you should just do a prank call all night. That's what one of your shows should be. And just challenge people to call something and see what happens.
You know, in newsflash, for people out there pranking paranormal investigators thinking they're trying to be funny, 1 a.m., I think 90% of us are still awake.
Yeah, our phones are normally shut off. If we're in an investigation, the phone should be shut off.
No, but I'm just talking in general. People think it's funny to call somebody late at night. Well, if you're prank calling a paranormal investigator, 1 a.m. is probably not the time to do it. Probably
no.
8 a.m. would probably be better for most of us.
Well, not about better, but...
I used to go, we would, like, the case that we did for the haunted, that case that was on that one, we live actually, like, 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours from their house. And, of course, I would never drive. I could sleep on the way back. And as soon as we'd get home, the first thing I would do was start the audio review, because I just would love to do that, and I couldn't wait, so... I'd still be up at 8 o'clock listening to audio going, oh, I need to hear some clicking. I hear that in my sleep.
And by the way, the challenge for Twitter has been accepted. I've already got a picture of a dog's rear end with sunglasses on it. So,
I don't even
want to ask what you did.
I opened the challenge because people have been sending me these tweets with random stuff in them while I'm on the air just to make me laugh. And now... apparently, that I've mentioned, that they're going to try to make it worse. So, I guess I should be careful what I ask for.
Hey, it works, I guess, in the long run. I don't know.
I hope.
Yeah, see, I'm going to be with John this weekend at an event, so he and I could put our heads together and really come up with some good stuff.
Hey, I already have a lot of stuff on my other website. I don't know if Jim thinks it's funny or not, but I got some other stuff there. Have you seen that yet, Jim? My other...
Oh, yeah.
Yes. My unique, as I said, my other madness that's non-paranormal typically. It's just... Sometimes it's fun just to make up these dumb things and, you know, make yourself laugh and hopefully somebody else finds it funny and isn't offended by it somewhere.
My goal is to offend people with those things when I post them.
I actually set a panel up at SivaCon back in February. It was called Cup Succubus. And I'm saying that with a straight face because I really did it. I kid you not. If there's anybody in the chat room, I'm sure Brock's in there, hopefully. I did. We set up a panel. We put it on the board, and we taught you how to, you know, you take a cup and you put it on your, you know, over your mouth or your chin, and you have to hold it there. And we did. There we were with the cup, and it was called Cup Succubus.
What am I going to do with you?
Hey, I had fun. I had people walking around with cups stuck to their chin. I think I even had Joe Chin, no pun intended. I think Joe did it.
Joe Chin seems like a fun guy.
Joe is awesome. I'm getting ready to do some a lot of work with him next year. Huge haunted tour coming up. I can't talk a lot about it. I can't give out too many details, but we're hitting a lot of hospitals across the country next year. Haunted ones. Not open ones, not active ones. But
I was going to say, hopefully not a lot of hospitals, but no.
But as big of a collection as I am, we may hit a few, active ones while we're out jaunting around the country. So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
I think so. I really do. The more we get closer, everybody seems to get more excited, and that's good, Hopefully everybody has a great time and, we have a great turnout.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jenny's going to be doing the Ghost Box 101, and I'm assuming you're going to be talking about the Ghost Box.
That's what you get for a theming. No. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. It's self-explanatory.
Well,
I normally do that one. Yeah, for some people. I normally do the Ghost Box 101. That's if I'm doing more than one lecture at an event, then I'll, kind of do some other things with the Ghost Box. But normally it's the 101 because that's where you should start if you've never used a Ghost Box. Does that make sense? 101, get it?
Yeah, I got it. I understand it. I'm a little slow, but not that slow.
I don't know. You're up there going, okay, come on with the good comeback there, Jeremy. You're just like, uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. It's almost, I've got 20 minutes left, so you should have been here earlier. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. So I thought you'd save the best for last. No,
I did. That's
no, what I'm doing.
I did.
Oh, God. That's scary.
See, I'm coming down the hill, I needed somebody to peek and keep the show going, see?
Oh, so you call me.
Right.
Oh. Okay. No, I'm doing the Ghost Box 101. Actually, John had posted that he was going to be hosting this event, and I really think it's really awesome. I've actually talked to some other people out in Maryland about doing something similar, and I think that what I like about it is that the event is actually geared towards, and I'll probably get my hands back for saying this because I do have a talent agent, so I have to be careful what I say, but, he, at the core of it, there's no big fee, and it's educational, and it's truly, I think, what events should be about, and it's about coming together and everybody learning from each other.
Well,
I like events like that.
I don't have a talent agent, so I can be free and wild and crazy. And
I have to be careful.
But I think there's room in the field for both types of events. People want to see the people on TV, but there needs to be some education and some community and some sharing and other types of events. There's room in the field for both.
Yep.
I agree, and I think that's what John, John's focus has been, and I'm talking about John like he's not on the phone with us, but on the air with us, but that's what I like, and I've had a lot of conversations with John, and John and I've talked a lot, and I think when I see that the intentions are real and they're for the right reasons, it really, I look at it and go, this is what this field should be about, and this is what we need more of, and it's helping each other. And the fact that you can come out and, you don't have to pay to get in, I think that's really cool. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. I really am.
Yeah, I'm glad you're part of it.
So am I.
I'll be packing my Ghost Box, so we went to the drive-in over the weekend. I got a good Ghost Box story. I got a really good Ghost Box story. We went to the drive-in. We found out there was a drive-in that was 12 minutes from our house. So we go to the drive-in, and we're sitting there, and we're listening, because you listen on your car radio, and it started getting staticky and going out, and we're like, what's going on? Well, apparently we needed a new battery, because it drained the battery, even though we had it on auxiliary. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God. How are we going to listen? I don't like listening to everybody else's radio. I was like, oh, the Ghost Box is in the back. Go get the Ghost Box. We'll use it. We actually used the big 12-150-150, the boombox one that has the attachment from hell on it. We actually used it to listen to a movie that was about Shadowhunters of all movies. Yeah. So, Ghost Boxes are good for other things. than communicating with the dead. So, but yeah, I have that one with me too. That one's got, I've got one I'm bringing that's got an attachment. And we've actually done an experiment with it where we'll do, we use the 12169, or I'm sorry, the 4, see, I've got a head code. 12469, which is, or is it just the 469? See, I'm getting my ghost boxes mixed up. The 469, which is the clicker, which is my favorite one. We'll have that one and then the big one that's got the attachment. And if we do them, like, side by side, you can actually tell that the big one has an attachment because all it does is catch it out. It's very nasty. It gets very vulgar. Hmm. I'm serious. It's a mean ghost box.
Well, I've been cursed at over one before, so I understand that fully, and it's funny and unique in the same breath when it happens. Honestly, because it's like the first time it happened to me, I honestly didn't know what to say because I, you know, part of me goes, I'm getting cursed at, and the other part of me goes, I shouldn't be getting cursed at over a radio station.
Exactly.
You know, so you have both sides of your head going, what the, and you're just like, like you curse back, does it really mean anything, you know what I mean? It's like,
well, the first time that we ever did a ghost box session, of course, you know, I was very skeptical, believe it or not, when I tell people that, they're like, really? You were skeptical? And I was very skeptical. In fact, I said, David, I said, dead people are not going to talk to us on the radio. That's just wrong. That ain't going to happen. And the first time that we used it, we had actually had seen a 6'2" black shadow, full body apparition, like probably an hour, not even that long, before we did the session. And what was so weird about this whole setup is we were outside, and the entire time that the shadow was manifested, you can hear this crying sound, which we actually figured out was what a distressed fox, the sound of a distressed fox. Well, as the shadow dissipated, so did the crying, which was really creepy to me. And so we do the ghost box, and there was, I asked if the black shadow was the, I'm trying to remember how worried it was, he the evil one, and you hear yes, and I said, is it harming you? They say a lot. Then all of a sudden, I get cussed out big time. I mean, whatever this big black shadow, whatever badass he was cussing me out. But he called me a red bitch and everything else. I mean, it was bad. But I didn't, now when I use the ghost box and when I do lectures on it, I tell people, I always ask your box to say cuss word for you. Because it's really good evidence, because if you can get cuss words, then you can present it as saying, you know, that's not radio.
Time right. out, time out, time out, out, time out, time out. What's a good cuss word?
The F-bomb. If you can get it to, if you can get it to drop an F-bomb here and there. All right, calls David an asshole. David's the asshole. Joe Ken, perfect example. We were at CubeCon, and Joe, I don't know if Joe was skeptical or not, but I had him going. And he actually was doing what I used to do, which was leaning over it, thinking that you had to yell into it, because for a long time I would do that. And he said, just say, what was it? He said, just say, F you. And all of a sudden you hear, it really did, it kind of it said, F you. You MFing moron. I was like, oh my God, Joe, it just cussed you out. So if you get it to cuss like that, I mean, that's a perfect example. Because there's no radio station that can say those kind of words.
Well, they can, yeah, but that's just not like recommended for your career, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it won't be good for the license.
So we actually started telling people, you know, back in the early days when I was getting ridiculed for the ghost box because, I mean, back when I started using it, I mean, it was not, people just weren't accepting of it. And we would tell people, you know, get it just like, you know, ask it for a ghost word. Have that be one of the first things you ask. Just, and I always say, can you say a ghost word for me so I know the box is working? And sometimes they'll just, you know, yeah, bitch, the box is working. I've had them tell me that just like that. I was like, okay, I get it. So I've had some crazy things come through the ghost box. Really crazy. They don't like to be called angry spirits.
It seems like you've caught some crazy things. I mean, based off what you've just told us in the last 10 minutes.
Yes, I actually have other teams send me ghost box clips. now where their Ghostbusters is actually asking for me. Now, that's really creepy. That's creepy when you have a team that you don't, some teams you don't even know, and they'll, you know, they'll hear about you and they'll contact you and go, I think my box is asking for you. And it's like, oh, well, just take a message. I'm not available. Isn't that awful? Tim's not saying anything.
No, it is awful, but it's okay, though. People are allowed to ask for you. You're the, what's your title? Is it Ghostbox Queen? Is that what it is?
That's what I've been given, but I don't call myself that. I actually coined the ghost box a ghost box, believe it or not. A lot of people don't know that. I remember we were sitting on a radio show, it was live, and we were all talking. It was me and Dr. Dave and Mike Coletta. And for people that don't know, Mike Coletta used to be, he's a UFO geek, and he did more Shack Hack mods than anybody else. And we were talking, and back then we were calling it the Shack Hack, and I'm like, I really don't like that name. And I think I tossed out a couple of names, and I finally said, I like Ghostbox. And who would have ever thought that, what, how many years later, that's what people call it? It's pretty cool.
So simple, though, you know? But yet, there it was.
Well, that's how simple it was. It was just, we were having a conversation. I think I forgot like two or three names that I didn't like, and we kind of tossed it around. I said, I like Ghostbox. Well, that's pretty much what I called it from that moment on. Because Shack Hack just seemed so, I don't know, just seemed so generic and so dull.
Well, yeah, that just came about because of the Radio Shack, you know, hacks for the radios. So a generic term like that just kind of sticks, unfortunately, no matter what you do with it.
What to do. And back then, that was pretty much the mainstream. That was pretty much the radio that everybody was modifying. You know, that's what Mike was modifying the most was, and I think that's the only thing he was modifying for a while. And also, a lot of people don't realize that the first person that ever modified, that created a ghost box, a Shack Hack, was Bill Chappelle, who is the inventor of the Ovilus, the paranormal puck. And he did it to show Frank Sumption that you did not have to build a device from scratch with all the bells and whistles like Frank does. You could do it with something as simple as a AM/FM radio. And, of course, you know, Bill doesn't take credit for it, but he was the first person to modify one, which is really interesting because of all the things that he's created since. So I thank him greatly for, you know, trying to prove a point to Frank. But Frank is the mastermind behind all of us wanting to try to create something. I always give Frank Sumption credit. I have to. Even though I'm mad at him right now, I still have to give him credit.
Well, that's okay. It happens from time to time, if I could speak.
Yes.
But
he's got a brilliant mind, but sometimes I wonder where it's at. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I love Frank. I give Frank a lot of credit.
Like I said, it happens. Before you put your foot in your mouth any further, how is the foot? How is the foot, by the way, I guess? Make a smooth transition into that question before we get...
The foot is the same. I actually have to have a block done tomorrow at the hospital, so a nerve block. So hopefully that'll prepare me for this weekend. And